We're at the end of this series, my friends, on Romans, after 21 months just over, and we're going to start again, but not quite yet. We're going to do some reflections. So join me in this, and we'll look at why Romans? What's the point? Colin Cook here and How It Happens. Thanks for joining me today. You're listening to a broadcast which is all about good news. You know, I love saying that, good news. Your life is a struggle, isn't it? So is mine. And every day we are confronted with what? 100 or so? 200 maybe? Frustrations? Some disappointments? Some shocks? Some loss of vision? Some dreariness? Some sort of passivity because we just can't face anymore? And if we don't have good news, then we're done for. We are of all men and women most miserable, as I might adapt Paul's statement. But we do have good news. And what's more, the good news comes from God. This is not what you thought it was. A God who, once he speaks, is about to zap you, give you judgment. The God who, it seems, in the view of many Christians, is simply fascinated and interested in bringing judgment and the end of the world. Yes, that's going to happen, but God is the God of good news. Our Heavenly Father has directed all the angels of heaven, all the ministers of the universe, all the people in the world to proclaim to others the fact that there is good news. So this is what we're on about at this program. And then, how the faith happens and how we train that faith in the good news about our Savior Jesus Christ, his Father, who has sent Jesus to the world, how we train ourselves by the help of the Holy Spirit in that faith so that we can intercept the bad news. In fact, more than that, we learn that the bad news, after all, is an instrument in the hands of God that will be turned into good for us. That's incredible. Well, as we do that, of course, we break through addictive struggles. We learn to quieten them down or eliminate them altogether or make them less frequent in our lives. We become more functional. That's what this broadcast is about. So welcome again, my friends. Thanks for joining me. As I say, we're going to start in a few days, start the book of Romans all over again. And you might say, why do you do this, Colin? What's the point? Why don't you go to James? Why don't you go to Isaiah? Why don't you go to Genesis? Why don't you go to Hebrews? What's all this about Romans? Well, as you know, we've spent the last, that is, those of you who keep following this broadcast, the last 21 months and a half on the book of Romans. We'll start again, and no doubt we'll do another 21 months and a half, or more, or less, God willing. I have been revolutionized by the book of Romans. My life has been turned upside down, really, by the book of Romans. I'm not talking about victorious living, my friend. Oh yeah, I've overcome some things in my life, but I don't feel like a victorious Christian. I'm battling something or other every day, and sometimes not battling it at all, unfortunately, just going along with it. But I suspect that's how you are too, isn't it, and millions of other Christians. What I'm looking at, and what I have discovered in the book of Romans, is grace. Mercy, the wonder of God, who has been so kind and so, what shall I say, abundant in his love. Now, I think that Paul was given a unique job. He wasn't just one of the apostles. God picked him out because God had given him a mind that could be expansive, a mind that is really a philosophical mind. By that I mean, philosophies attempt to describe the nature of reality and make it all inclusive, just as scientists and astronomers try to find one unifying force that explains the universe. It seems to me that Paul, with his expansive mind, with his cross-culture upbringing, was led by God and the Holy Spirit to explain the nature of reality in the cross of Jesus Christ. Yes, Peter was important. Yes, other apostles were important. Yes, James had something to say. But Paul somehow was able to broadly describe the nature of Christian reality. More than that, reality itself in relation to God. And when he does, we discover that he shocks us to our core. Because we find in this book of Romans that God is altogether different from what we thought he was. We thought that he demanded holiness and righteousness from us, and that he would judge us and destroy us if we didn't provide it, and that he is so holy, he's almost on the side of feelinglessness and detachment. Now, I know that people don't verbalize this, Christians, and that we don't go around saying God demands this and all the rest of it, and he's very unfeeling and he has no sympathy for us. But the way we respond often belies what we say, and we are brought into states of fear of God that really are nothing to do with the gospel. And then Paul comes along, and by the power of the Holy Spirit and the revelation that Christ gave him and all of his understanding of Old Testament prophecy and the sacrifices, brings us a message that God is for the human race. Now, of course, it's right there in the Old Testament, but we lost sight of it. And the revelation of Christ to him brought it all back. God is in favor of the human race. That though he will judge, he will not judge the human race for its wickedness, but for its rejection of his Son. The human race has been given a completely new start. That's what the book of Romans, it seems to me, is all about. Well, one of the things, there are many, 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 many sub-themes in the book of Romans. It's awesome. But the new start is not conversion. The new start is not, all right, you repent and be born again, and you will have a new power to overcome what previously you were constantly defeated by. No, that's not the new start. The new start is Christ. Christ, more accurately, let's say Jesus for the moment, came upon the world and was injected into the world, if you like, by the Creator God. More accurately still, God the Creator injected himself into the human race as a human being. And a human being who would live in harmony with God, God living in harmony with God, if you like, for God is self-conscious, as we are ourselves, but we're not in harmony with ourselves. God is. And God, in Christ, lived in harmony with himself, and God walked as a human through this world in beautiful conformity and fellowship with his Father. doing his will, loving the world, revealing the heart of God, helping the world in its woundedness, its sicknesses, its death, and its sin. And then he went all the way to death. And that death was not simply an accident or a death that was for Jesus himself. It wasn't for him at all. It was for us. We learned, we discovered, we were told in the Old Testament, but it became fully revealed in the New. This mystery hidden for ages, now made known, that death was the extermination of the human race and the beginning of a new one. Christ being the new head of the human race. Unfallen, without sin, in harmony with the Father, perfectly pleasing to God. And on his coattails, we are dragged into the kingdom of heaven. We are not catapulted there by some innate righteousness which we discovered. We do not graduate into the kingdom of heaven by some evolving righteousness which we have succeeded in accessing or performing by the help of the Holy Spirit. We are brought into that kingdom by a death and a resurrection, but not our death and not our resurrection. Not by some incredible stint of human discipline by which we eliminate the sinful nature, but by Christ's execution on our behalf. And his resurrection, which we had no power in, no part in, we partake by faith. This is the excitement to me of the book of Romans. This brings to us news that is so good that it is difficult to believe it on a daily basis because of all the bad stuff that goes on around us. But we train our faith to believe in good news. Now, friends, we're all searching for self-understanding, aren't we? In addition to understanding Christ and who he is and the Father and the whole kingdom of grace, we are confused about ourselves. We don't know whether we're just plain old sinners who can't get it together and need to repent more, or whether we're wounded people that are really children that need a bit of sympathy. We're afraid of sympathizing with ourselves because we think that might be self-pity. And we try to be tough on ourselves, but then we realize that doesn't work either. So we're trying to sort this out in the next seminar, my friends. The subject is described in this title, Did My Parents Screw Me Up, or Am I Just a Sinner? You know, some people try constantly to repent of something that is not, well, shall I create a word, repentable of, because it's a wound in them that needs healing. And then there are those who actually blame their childhood for something they're doing now, which they can do something about. And so they end up as permanent victims in the world. So we need to sort this out, and that's what this seminar will try to do, at least a little bit. Did my parents screw me up, or am I just a sinner? I welcome my regular listeners and friends, and I also welcome those who haven't turned up at one of my seminars yet. You will not find this an uncomfortable experience, I assure you. We get together in a kind of classroom style. There are questions and discussion periods, and there are breaks and coffee and tea and orange juice, so that you'll find yourself in a relaxed situation. I welcome you then, Saturday the 27th of October, La Quinta Inn in Lakewood. I'll see you next time, my friends. Cheerio and God bless.